Thank you for listening to Christian Family Church Podcast. Here at CFC, our mission is to live and communicate the power of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to the world around us. From wherever you're listening, we hope you'll be encouraged by this week's message.
This morning, I wonder if you remember a time when maybe you've done something for years and years. I'll grab those lights on again too. You've done something for years and years, and you've done it, and you've always done it the same way, and then suddenly you find out you've been doing it the wrong way. Has anyone ever had one of those moments? It's like that Christmas carol I'm sure I've told you before. It's like, you know, that Gloria in Chelsea Stadium. Like, did you... I thought it was in Chelsea Stadium or something when I was little. But in Excelsis Deo, there you go. I had no idea. I wonder what it is for you. I remember about 20 years ago, there was a whole revelation happened in our society about timber decking. Probably my revelation was because I was about to build a deck and I was trying to find out the right way. But you know, timber decking, for a long, long time, everywhere you went, like the grooves were on top. And everyone said, that's for the grip. That's the grip. But no, it's not for grip. That just catches the water and makes it rot and go, it decays quicker. The decking is made for the grooves to go on the bottom so it airs and it dries and it keeps it healthy. And Craig's going, amen. Did you know that? Is your decking up the right way? If it's not, we're going to have a working bed at your place. No, I'm just kidding. Now, just recently, I heard some truly shocking news. If you're wondering why I'm smiling, I'm just trying to wipe the smile from my face. But it's truly shocking news. I mean, this was rock your world kind of stuff. I mean, take a deep breath, everyone. You might faint otherwise. Take a deep breath, Andrew. I just heard recently that bike tires, deep breath, I almost can't believe the words as I'm about to speak them. Bike tyres with 32, even up to 38 millimetre tyres. It's crazy. With a PSI, a pressure per square inch, of 60 to 80, and even 50 to 80 if you're a lighter person, can be faster than a 23 millimetre tyre of 120 or 150 PSI. I mean, who would have believed it? Can you believe it? I feel like I just need to go and sit down for a moment. Oh, someone help me stand up. 32 to 60, 38 millimetre tyres. Like, we always were, it was the skinnier, the better, the higher the pressure, the better. I got so excited the day I got these new wheels one time for the track on the velodrome, and I got tyres that went up to 250 PSI. Man, they were like gold medals coming. No. But suddenly there's this revelation, and maybe we've got it wrong. And the world's been thrown into chaos. If you're a cyclist, you need to check it out. Anyway, this morning, we're not going to talk about bike tires. But this morning, just like I discovered a better way on the bike, a way with less pressure and less resistance as we roll with Jesus... I mean, I believe God wants to rock the world of some people here today, that you might get a fresh understanding of what it means to follow Jesus, that you might find a fresh joy, a fresh peace, and a new freedom as you roll with Jesus that will just depressurize your life. Anyone want that? Has anyone seen the movie Cool Runnings? I love that movie. There's a guy in the movie, Dorice Bannock, who's they're trying to decide the name for the bobsled, and Dorice says it should be Cool Runnings, which means peace be the journey. Cool Runnings, peace be the journey. I pray that there might be some peace be the journey, cool runnings in your life this week. Last Sunday, Josh shared a great word around Hebrews chapter 3 about repentance, that repentance is not just an end in itself, but repentance is a way of God preparing our heart to be and live the life that God has called us to. We're going to read on from that, and with those thoughts in mind, if you missed it, I encourage you to go back and have a listen, have a watch of that. We're going to open up to Hebrews chapter 4 today as we continue in our series that Jesus is the true light. Let's just pray as we open God's word together. Thank you, Lord. God, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you that, Lord, your word is unchanging. That, Lord, your word is alive and powerful. And Lord, we just pray that you would just divide, Lord, this morning between what is true and what is false in our thinking. Lord, even for those of us who've known you for years and years, and Lord, we've had a rest in you. But Lord, where we have allowed a pressure to enter our life, when we have taken on things, when we've had wrong mindsets about things, Lord, I just pray this morning that you would cut away those things. That Lord, as the master surgeon, Lord, that you would spiritually operate in our heart, in our minds, that you would shift our thinking, that you would change our hearts, Lord, even as we look at your word together this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open up to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. We're going to read right through to verse 16 of chapter 4. If you've got it there, hope you open up your Bible and read along with us. God's promise of entering his rest still stands. I love that verse right there. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. I don't so much love that part of the verse. For this good news that God has prepared this rest has been announced to us just as it was to them. But it did them no good because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. For only we who believe can enter his rest. As for the others, God said, "In my anger I took an oath, they will never enter my place of rest." Even though this rest has been ready since he made the world. We know it is ready because of the place in the scriptures where it mentions the seventh day. On the seventh day, God rested from all his work. But in the other passage, God said, "They will never enter my place of rest." Talking about those who disobeyed and walked astray. Verse 6, "So God's rest is there for people to enter. But those who first heard this good news failed to enter because they disobeyed God. So God set another time for entering his rest, and that time is today. God announced this through David and much later in the words already quoted, "Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts." Now, if Joshua had succeeded in giving them this rest, remembering that Joshua, as we did our series on Joshua last year, he led them out of the wilderness, through across the Jordan, into the promised land. They defeated Jericho and they went into the land. Remembering that, that's the background of the story. Now, if Joshua had succeeded in giving them this rest, God would not have spoken about another day of rest still to come. So there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world. So let us do our best to enter that rest. But if we disobey God, as the people of Israel did, we will fall. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. So then, since we have a great high priest, remembering that the high priest is the one who mediated between God's people and God, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours, understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testing we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Point number one this morning, if you miss everything else I say, hear this. God wants us to know and enter his rest. Thank you, Jesus. God wants you to know his rest. He wants you. You can point your finger at yourself if you have to and say, me. God wants me. God wants you to know and enter his rest. He's not holding it back from you. He's not kind of holding you at a distance saying, hang on. Maybe, I'm not sure yet. He wants you to enter his rest. He wants to help you have his rest. He wants to lead you and guide you that you might know his rest in your life and for eternity. As it says in verse 4, since the beginning, God has desired for us to enjoy his rest. It says on the seventh day he rested, not because he was tired, God wasn't worn out, but he stopped. He created a pattern for us. He stopped on the seventh day to enjoy his creation, to stop and rest and enjoy and celebrate his creation and what he's done and who he is. That we too would stop and rest and be refreshed and celebrate who he is and all he's done on the seventh day. You know, the word recreation, we talk about recreational activities in a purely worldly sense. Recreation is about recreation. It's about being re-energized, about what gives you life again. When you're feeling overwhelmed and like you just need a break, you go and have some recreation time and it fills you up again and re-energizes you. But as followers of Christ, it's about acknowledging that everything we have is a gift from him. You know, the Sabbath rest, that day was about helping God's people, and it helps us when we have a day off. And I encourage you, we're not under law, but we are. It is wisdom for us to have a day off. And as we take a day off, as we have a holiday, it reminds us that we are not the one who sustains all things. God is the sustainer of all things. He is my strength. He's my provider. Everything I have is a gift from him. And as we have recreation time, as we have a Sabbath rest, as we take time out, it's worship to God. Now, I've got to say, there's times I jump on my bike and I pedal and I go for a ride and I'm thinking about all kinds of different things. But there's other times I jump on my bike and I have some recreation time, and every pedal I'm just thinking, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me. Thank you, God, for this world we live in. Thank you, God, for the bush and the lake and our rest. As we rest in him, as we enjoy what God has given and done for us, it is worship in us to him. You know, it's good for us to have a day off. It's good for us to take a holiday. It's good for us. Well, it's almost 2 years ago. Wow. We went on long service leave, and it was good for you to have a break from me for all kinds of reasons. I'm not. God is the head of this church, and you don't need me. We need God. And we need to remind ourselves by taking a break and saying, I'm not going to be blessed just by my work. We are blessed because he is God and I am not. Anyway, thank you, Jesus. I wasn't meaning to make you feel guilty if I'm having a holiday, but maybe you should look at it. You know, God called to Adam and Eve in the garden. He called to them in the cool of the evening to come and dwell with him. He called to Israel, come and be faithful to me and enter my rest. He called to Joshua and the people and said, be strong and courageous. Go in my strength. Trust me and enter into my rest. And now he calls to us. He says, come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, and there you will find mercy. You'll find grace when you need it the most, it says in verse 16. God wants you to enter his rest, to know his rest, even in the chaos, even in the turmoil you might be going through, even in that, God wants you to know his rest. It goes on in we'll just read back again what it says in verse 1 though. It says, God's promise of entering his rest still stands. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. For this good news has been prepared, for this good news that God has prepared this rest has been announced to us just as it was to them, but it did them no good because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. For only those who believe can enter his rest. That verse is a warning to us. The book of Hebrews is a warning to us. Not to drift, not to be led astray. Some of us may fail to enter into it. Point number 2, repentance opens the way. As Josh talked about last week, repentance opens the way, it tills up the soil, it prepares our heart to be led by God, to receive from God all that he has for us. It starts with repentance. Not everyone is going to enjoy God's rest. You know, even as believers in Christ at times, we can know who Christ is, we can have faith in him, but let our minds just wander and we don't experience the rest that God wants for us in this life. We can fail to enter it into it, even in this life. And remember too that this letter is written to Jewish believers. It's written to people who probably thought, well, you know, we're God's people, we're the Jews, we're good. Like, Jesus, we're one of yours. But he's reminding them, it's like, you are not going to receive this just because of your family line. You're not going to receive this just because you're Jewish. You're not going to receive this just because you come to church, just because your family comes to church. It's not about coming together, it's about your faith and your belief in Jesus Christ. Day by day, hour by hour, who is your trust in? As it says in verse 3, only those who believe can enter his rest. Repentance opens the way, but I wonder if you've ever had one of those moments. Maybe it was as a kid, hopefully not recently, if you're not a kid. Maybe you had a moment when it was a friend of yours at school, or maybe it's one of your kids, and someone's done something wrong. Maybe you were the person who did something wrong, and then the teacher or the parent or whoever was there, they had one of those moments, and they're like, as the person's kind of trying to slip away and disappear, it's like, come here. That's not an angry voice, but it's a very firm voice. And it's not angry, but it's very firm. And stern, come here. Anyone remember one of those moments? Yeah? Some of you going, huh? In that moment, what do? You've got a choice. You got a few choices. You can A, run. B, kind of pretend it wasn't you and hide and slip away. You can try and hide. Or do you come back and face the music? Do you come back and sort of like, yep, all right, I know, I'm busted. I surrender. By the way, if you're here for the first time and you're wondering, why the heck have all these people got their hands in the air? It is a sign of surrender. I'm saying, God, you are worthy of all our praise. I give you my life. You know, one of the things we should learn from the book of Jonah is we cannot run from God. We cannot hide from him. And can I just say, I think some of the most beautiful times with our kids, In a sense, one of the most beautiful times is after they've confessed their sin and you kind of just having a cuddle and telling them you still love them and you're just having a chat and there's kind of the barriers are gone. Is anyone remembering one of those moments? And there's an intimacy that comes after repentance. Repentance opens the way to a joy and a peace and a rest that we cannot have without repentance. God wants you to come to him with a repentant heart and just say, Lord, thank you for your grace. I didn't deserve it, but thank you. And there's a joy, there's a peace, there's a rest in that. No matter what we face, no matter what we go through. But, point number three, we will all get our way in the end. And maybe you're going, woo, yeah, that's good news, Andrew. We're going to get our own way in the end. It's like, well, let me explain what I mean by that. It might sound exciting at first, but what I mean at the most basic level is just like Israel, just like Joshua and the people, if we refuse to listen to God's instruction, his call for us to come and trust him, to put our faith in him, if we try and live our life as our own boss, thinking we don't need God, we will not enter his rest. And that is hell. To be separated from his rest for eternity, to be separated from God's love and his provision for us for eternity, that is hell. It's to be removed from everything that is good. I wonder if you've ever, has anyone ever tried to grow your own food? And when I say that, I actually don't mean have you bought some seedlings, or have you bought some seeds and like put them in the ground and you've watered them. I don't mean have you planted some seeds and put them in the ground and watered them and watched them grow. I mean, have you ever got a seed and tried to make your own food? Like you've got that seed, a little seed, and you kind of stretched it and pulled on it. Some of you thinking, what's he talking about? Have you ever tried to get a seed and kind of tried to make it grow, make its cells multiply and like pull it out and like then make the stem come out of it and then make fruit appear on the end of the plant? Has anyone, you probably haven't even bothered trying. God is the creator and sustainer of all things, and we are not. There is no hope without him. There is no peace and rest and joy in eternity and even in this life truly without him. If he removed himself from us, we would be totally lost. You know, Joshua was a great leader of God's people, but he couldn't give them this full and complete rest that God spoke about, that he desires for us to have. Have a listen again to verse 8 to 13 in chapter 4. It says, now if Joshua had succeeded in giving them this rest, God would not have spoken about another day of rest still to come. So there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world. So let us do our best to enter that rest. But if we disobey God as the people of Israel did, we will fall. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. Now, Jesus is the Word made flesh. He sees everything in us. But point number four, God's word is our compass. God's word is our compass. Imagine for a moment you're going off on a trek through the Amazon rainforest. And just to help you imagine, here we are, I'm in the Amazon rainforest. Imagine you're going off for a trek in the Amazon rainforest and you decide you're not going to take a map. You're not going to take a GPS. You know, it's the old school way. You're not even taking a compass. And you decide you're going to head from one side of the Amazon rainforest all the way to the other. You are going to get lost. You are going to get deceived. You're going to think, oh, the sun's there. I'm walking that way and I'm going straight. But you're going to end up walking in circles. God's word is alive and it is powerful. It is not static. You open God's word and you read the same passage every day of your life and you'll hear it say something different every single day of your life, potentially. God's word is alive and powerful. It is not static as we read his word. It is powerful. It points out where we have drifted. As we walk through life, as we read his word, it points out, oh wow, I thought I was heading this way, but I've ended up over here. Lord, help me, forgive me, Lord, for going off astray. It stops us falling off cliffs. It stops us wandering in circles, as the people did in the wilderness. It exposes our deepest desires and hidden motives that we didn't even realize about ourselves as we come to God's Word day by day and allow it to realign us day by day. It's not just about reading it and forgetting what we read. I was reading with one of the kids through the week and something came up later that day and they're like, "Dad, this happened. What do I do?" I said, "What did we just read in the Bible this morning?" And they're like, "Oh yeah." And they run off again. I'm like, "Awesome, that was fantastic. Best parenting moment ever." I wonder though, has anyone ever used a dodgy compass? It's like you turn it and it sort of points to north and then you move and it's just kind of moves with you. Has anyone ever had one of those ones? Like, I had a great compass. We went hiking and I had a great compass and I went to go on the next hike. I just grabbed it out, thought, "Yep, this will be good." And I'm like, "Hang on." It's like it points north and then I walk that way. It's still pointing north. Oh, then it spins around that way. Oh dear, this is a problem. Can I just point out, God does not want us to look to people. People are not our rock. We fail each other at times. I will let you down at times. I can say things that are not accurate. And we need the Word of God to be our anchor, our compass, day by day. You know, there are some great preachers out there and there's some great podcasts we can listen to. But, you know, I believe it's as iron sharpens iron. It's in relationship. It's as we spend time with each other that God truly grows us and develops us in Him. You know, it's really easy to be a Christian when you just sit by yourself in a room without anyone else in there until you get frustrated because they haven't come and talked to you. I wonder if you've ever met a celebrity or maybe even a famous preacher and they've been one thing publicly, but privately they've been something totally different. It's grieved me at times to meet people that I really had heard so many good things about when their private self is so different to their public self. And God wants us to do life in relationship, to encourage each other, to minister to each other. But it's in relationship that we see, is that person's compass actually heading true north? Or are they actually living a different way to what God's true north is? We need to be in relationship. Join a life group if you're not part of one. Be involved in God's family, in His body. God's Word is true and the manufacturer is not dodgy. It is true and accurate. It's a living, powerful Word and we need to read it. In fact, Jesus Himself, the Word made flesh, He knows what it is to be human. Let me just read from verse 14 to 16 again. It says, "So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most." Point number five, my final point, Jesus is our ultimate guide. You imagine again trekking through the Amazon rainforest, Jesus knows the way. He knows the way. He is the ultimate guide for your life. He knows what it is to be human. He knows your heart better than you know it yourself. Now, I heard someone talking about Jesus' temptation and how we sometimes think about how, yeah, Jesus was tempted, but he never struggled to the point where he gave into sin. So maybe he doesn't fully understand. It's like, well, no, we've got that wrong in our heads. Imagine for a moment that temptation is like a raging river, that life just is like that raging river flowing against us, trying to follow after God. And you know, at times we have all been facing that temptation, that river of water flowing against us, and we've given in, we've just let go and float back. But Jesus kept pushing forward all the way to the cross. He never laid down. He endured not just a little bit of trials and temptation, but He continued to walk forward. He continued to press on towards the goal. He knows and understands what it is to be tempted, to face trials of every kind. and he is able to help us. And now he calls to us. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. He says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart." Have you thought about that line right there? It doesn't say, because I am strong and I can control you. No. He says, I am humble and gentle at heart. I am calling you to come to me. Let me teach you. I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Doesn't mean you're just going to get more time to lie in bed in the morning. You can find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. It doesn't mean life is always going to be easy. In fact, this very passage comes just after John's disciples come to Jesus. You know, John the Baptist, he's the one that said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John the Baptist has been aware who Jesus is for quite some time. And then finally, we see here in chapter 11, John the Baptist sends his disciples. John's in prison, and he sends his disciples to say to Jesus, "Are you the one we thought you were or not? Are you the one we've been expecting? Are you the Messiah? Or have I completely messed this up, and should we keep looking for someone else?" I think John's a bit overwhelmed. John's a bit discouraged. His soul is not feeling too rested, I don't think, to be honest. And he sends his disciples and says, "Are you the one?" I think he's a bit discouraged. He's still in prison. Jesus hasn't done anything about it. He says, "Are you the one, or should we keep looking?" And Jesus replies to him in Matthew 11, and he says, "The blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cured, the dead are raised. God blesses those who do not turn away." In this life, we will face trials, we will face temptations, we will suffer at the hands of men. But God blesses those who do not turn away. We will face trials in this life, but Jesus has come that we might have rest for our souls. Life gets busy, things are happening, but God wants to be your sustaining power at work through every single day of our lives. Sometimes life just gets really busy, but you know, we can have peace even in the busyness. I'll just say that. So I'll ask you again. Actually, I don't know if I said the title of my message. I was going to say, the title of my message is, "Are you ready?" Are you ready? And I want to finish by saying, are you ready to enter his rest? Are you ready to know his rest? If you want to be ready, check your compass. Open up the Word of God day by day and say, "God, I want to be ready to live in your rest." And as you check your compass, as you open the Word, when you see things where you've strayed away, just say, "God, I'm sorry. We need to repent." Check our compass. Let's repent and allow God to work in our heart, that he would restore and bring that intimacy and joy of our salvation again. And let's enjoy his rest. Now, God gives rest to those he loves. I have a book on my shelf that says, "When I relax, I feel guilty." God doesn't want us to feel that way. To be honest, I've never read the book, but I love the title. And it's staying on my shelf. God gives rest to those he loves. We can rejoice as we rest in him. As you take a day off and just do nothing, as you go home this afternoon and have your nap, I hope you have the most joyful, restful nap that you've ever had, if you are blessed to have that opportunity. Just like the bike tires, I pray that we would take some pressure out of our lives. As a cyclist, you sort of think the higher the pressure, the faster you go. But I believe God is saying, take some pressure out. Get some fatter tires. Like, let Jesus, get to know Jesus better and let him take some of the pressure out of your life. Let him absorb some of the vibrations of the road, some of the bumps on the journey. He actually wants to take that away from you. We've still got a pedal. There's still some hills. But God wants to give you rest in the journey. Ask the band to come. We just want to pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just thank you so much that you desire to give us your rest. Lord, even as I just pause to pray, I'm just reminded of the statistic that as human beings, 7 seconds of silence is almost all we can manage without feeling uncomfortable. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to stop, to be still, and know that you are God. Lord, just help us to realize, to understand that, Lord, we are not sustained just by working harder and harder. But Lord, we are blessed as we recognize that our strength comes from you, that everything we have is a gift from you. Lord, I just pray that you would help us as your people. Lord, help us to trust in you this week, that we would know your rest through all that we might be going through, that we would be able to enjoy the journey with you. That, Lord, you would just depressurize our lives. That, Lord, you would take away that anxiety within our hearts, Lord God. Maybe we haven't even recognized it, Lord, but I just pray, Lord, as we open the Word of God through the week, Lord, would you, Jesus, you would just realign us again, that you would be our compass. Lord, you would stop us from drifting astray. Lord, give us a repentant heart that daily is soft and ready to be led by you, to be able to enjoy the journey with you. Lord, I'm just reminded again of that word you gave me through the week for someone, and I just believe it's a word you want each of us to have, that you know, God has set a table before us. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. But the enemy comes and he wants to just sprinkle gravel amongst the beautiful things that God has given us. He wants us to feast, but the enemy comes and wants to sprinkle gravel amongst the beautiful things that God has given. But God wants to remove the gravel from the beauty of what God has done, that you can have joy, that you can enjoy what God has given and provided for you. This morning, as we just sing this song, I just want to encourage you just to surrender again and say, Lord, take these stony things out of my heart. Do your work in me. And Lord, let me live in your rest. Lord, I just thank you for that. Lord, for anyone here today, maybe they're watching online and they've never given their life to you, Lord, before. I just thank you, Jesus, that the moment we turn to you, the moment we turn from sin and turn to you, Lord, all of heaven rejoices. Lord, it's so simple, but it's so perfect that anyone who comes to you that recognizes that, Lord Jesus, you gave your life on the cross for our sin, that you rose again victorious, that we too can have eternal life with you, that we are forgiven the moment we turn to you. Lord, I just thank you for anyone this morning who wants to do that this morning. Lord, I thank you that you hear their prayer. Lord, I just pray you would turn our mourning into dancing, our weeping into joy, in Jesus' name. Amen.